Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, our guests today are Melanie Bussell, the Learning Loss and RTI Supervisor for Putnam County Schools, and Cassie Hunley, the new Behavior Specialist for Putnam County Schools. Cassie, Melanie, welcome to Local Matters.
Thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
All right, so Melanie, we've had you on before. We've talked about some of the different things. Cassie, it's your first time on the show. This is great. And now you are the behavior specialist. So I brought you both on today to kind of talk about behavior in Putnam County Schools. And Melanie, I know this is something that you've really taken on a role and
yes.
Brought Cassie on. So we're going to tag team discipline today. How about that?
That sounds great.
Let's do it.
So Cassie, new behavior specialist. What are we talking about when we say a new behavior specialist for Putnam County Schools?
So in my new role, I will be going to schools and working with teachers and admin with any behaviors that they may see in their classroom, offer up supports and interventions that they may have not thought to try before, and hopefully remediate behaviors similar to academics.
Okay. Now, is this something that you have aspired to do when you graduated college? You wanted to be a behavior specialist when you grew up. No, I mean, how did this come about?
When I graduated college, I started teaching 8th grade math.
Okay.
And I was an 8th grade math teacher for 6 years, and then I got into the interventionist role at Allgood Middle School. And through that role, I had several different opportunities to work with my admin team, and they gave me lots of chances to work on committees. And I worked on the behavior committee this past spring, and I kind of have a heart for those kids.
Yeah.
And I noticed that a lot of my academic kids struggle with other things, and those two things kind of go hand in hand, and I would like to work with those kids and just help them grow.
Oh, awesome. So, Melanie, hearing this,
right?
I mean, this has to make you feel good because you know that there have been issues. And in today's education, I mean,
yes.
There are behavioral issues.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
The concerns came actually to the district office through what we now, a process we use, the Guiding Coalition from administrators. So they brought to Mr. King a great concern of, you know, behaviors that were interrupting classroom instruction, mm-hmm. and that they felt like it was continually growing and getting worse, and that maybe we needed to take a step back and look at some procedures and streamline some things to help teachers reteach behavior. I think sometimes people don't understand we have to teach some kids behavior just like we teach them their academics.
Oh,
we
yeah.
think they come to school with that skill set,
right.
but they really don't.
Yeah.
So once that concern was brought, then the subcommittee was put together. On that subcommittee, Ms. Hunley actually, you know, worked really hard in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 areas. She was an interventionist under me, under the academic side, and she has a really great skill set to work with people and adults. And so that's a big part of why she's been brought on into the role. But this was really a concern of teachers, mm-hmm. and we just said we have to listen to their voice. And so that's where it started.
Yeah. Do you anticipate working, Cassie, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools? It's going to be all across the board. Is there any specific area that you're going to target first?
I'm actually reaching out to admin, and I'm going to just meet with them and see what their need is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really K-12, so I'll be in all the schools working with all the kids. Wherever the greatest need is, whether it's elementary, middle, or high, that's where I'll be.
Yeah, and looking at those, the three different levels of school, I mean, elementary, middle, and high school, behaviors are different in all three of those. So, I mean, you look at, you know, what issues you're dealing with in elementary is not going to be the same in middle school, and it's not going to be the same in high school.
Right.
So I guess there you have to go about kind of developing a different game plan for each one.
Within our chart, we've created like an intervention chart, and it is pretty much by grade level.
Okay.
We have a K-8 system that is pretty solid. High school is a different little beast. So we're still working and tweaking on what that might look like at high school. But, you know, elementary, we have a lot of kindergarten and first graders coming in, and they just can't regulate their own body. They can't sit in a chair. Some kids are coming to us without experiences of being in a pre-K. And so we're really starting from scratch when they walk through the door with us. So those behaviors, like you said, are way different compared to a middle schooler who might be going through something emotionally or trauma or just being a middle schooler.
Yeah.
So, yes, but within our plan, we have interventions to meet, hopefully, all those kids' needs and actually opening up a bigger toolbox for teachers to be able to use different interventions to see what happens with individual kids.
Yeah. Cassie, you talk about meeting with admins. What are some of the things that you might hear or expect to hear from them when it comes to behavior?
I think the admin are going to bring teachers' concerns to the forefront.
Yeah.
So things that are happening in their classroom that maybe they don't feel like they can control. Mm-hmm. And just getting another person in to give them a perspective, an outside perspective, and tools to use.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. Giving teachers tools to use on just how to handle behavior. Because we can say what we went to, back in my day, they broke the paddle out and we wrote out sentences and all that. I mean, yeah, you can talk about that all you want to, but it's a different day and time.
Yes.
And there are different issues. And COVID probably created a lot of those issues that we have to deal with. Melanie is learning loss supervisor, RTI. Just explain a little bit about your role and kind of what you've been doing and how you're kind of morphing into this.
So on the RTI academic side, I have been working with interventionists and admin to look at kids' individual needs based on their data to help improve academic achievement. So when we're sitting in our academic data team meetings, a lot of times it comes up that this child is not making progress because of the behaviors in the classroom.
Gotcha.
Or it's an attendance issue or some of those things. Mm-hmm. So when it came to the forefront that we needed to start addressing behavior, the two really are married. Academics are affected by behavior. So we're trying to pull it all together, and the RTI behavior will model the RTI academic, where we have data on those students, behavioral data. We have a behavior data team meeting now to discuss kids, to move them through a tier one, tier two, tier three type setting. There'll be assessments that go along with that. So it just, what I was doing before, it just now encompasses the behavior side. But we really were already kind of addressing some of those things because the behavior causes academic delays. So we're just pulling all of that work together. We're not quite ready to put our academic and behavior data teams together yet because we want a strong focus still on academic. And we're going to try to break out the true behaviors of kids. And that might take just a little bit longer. So we don't want to take teachers' plan times any longer than we have to. So we're going to separate those for now, but in great hopes that we can pull it all together into one, once we get some experience under our belt with the new system.
Yeah, it sounds very structured. And when you talk about behavioral data, kind of give me an example, and Cassie, you might want to jump in on, what does behavioral data look like? And, we know that we can measure academics through grades and through test scores and through that kind of thing. But when we're talking about behavioral data, how are we scoring, or what kind of measuring stick are we using when we're talking about behavioral data?
Okay. So in the academic world, students do universal screeners multiple times a year, and that kind of tells you the percentile that your child scores on a nationally normed test. So in the behavioral world, we also do a universal screener, but we only do that twice a year. And it's just
it's like a rating scale.
That teachers go through, and it's almost just like rating things that they notice about a child's behaviors.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes it's a social-emotional thing that teachers are noticing, and so they'll rate them based upon that. Sometimes it's something external that we can see, like shouting out, lying, stealing, those things that we can actually see and measure. So that's one of our universal screener tools that we'll use to collect data. We'll also be looking at things like office referrals, demerits, write-ups, nurse visits, counseling visits. So a lot of these different things that we take into account to just – because those aren't – like going to the counselor and without an appointment happening regularly tells us that there's something going on that maybe we don't know.
Yeah.
So that could play into your academic side. So we look at those things. We look at daily progress reports that teachers take on kids. So there's lots of different factors and points that we have. Or if you notice a kid's just falling behind, that's a kid that you might want to bring up at data team, because if it's happening in my class, it could be happening in another.
Wow. That's impressive. Who knew that there was so much that went into the discipline side of it, and that you could evaluate all those things? It's more than just, well, he's a troubled kid, or he's a bad kid, or he's got something going on at home. I mean, you really see how it affects the academic side and really the whole school experience.
Yes. It's a big picture that we're trying to paint,
yes,
with the data on both sides, to see the whole child and where they're coming from and how do we need to remediate to help them academically.
Yeah. And I know later on we'll get into some of those things on the solutions and some of the things that may come up and how we will deal with some of those things. And I guess, Cassie, for you, you know, school is starting and, you know, you'll be meeting with admins, but I mean, what'll be the first thing? Is a teacher going to call you and say, hey, I got this kid, come talk to him?
Possibly. That could possibly happen for her.
Yeah.
I think meeting with admin, there are already some list of kids floating around out there from each school.
Gotcha.
Of that we might want to start taking, put a child on a daily progress report now and get some baseline data, mm-hmm, and see. There were some kids that we were tracking at the end of the school year last year that we want to make sure that they have interventions in place to help them be successful, and we're keeping that data. So she may get some phone calls of emergency 911 type phone calls, but I think we're going to try to be proactive and get in there,
yeah,
and start working with the kiddos that we already have identified. And then as new ones come up, yeah, her phone will start ringing off the hook for sure.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good plan to have. We'll stop right there. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to know each of you a little bit better. We'll talk about how your summers went and if you're really ready for school. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. This is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we are talking this week to Melanie Bussell, the Learning Loss and RTI Supervisor, and Cassie Hunley, the new Behavior Specialist for Putnam County Schools. Melanie, how was your summer?
My summer was fabulous. I took a short beach trip with my grandchildren, and then my grandson actually made the national rodeo finals with the Cinch Rodeo, Junior High Rodeo out in Iowa. So I went,
wow,
and spent the week out there watching him compete.
Yes.
So, yeah, and then work. I've been working most of the summer, but, you know, it's just a different laid-back type work. It's,
yeah,
not as pressing, but lots of planning to get ready for the next school year.
And now it's here.
And now it's here.
Yes. Cassie, what was your summer like?
My summer was pretty eventful. I worked summer school, and
okay,
then after that I spent a lot of time with my nieces and my younger brother and sister, and then I enjoyed a beach trip with some of my closest friends right before diving right back into school.
Yeah, nice. Get that refresher right before you come, mm-hmm, back and jump right into it. So, Cassie, since you're the newbie on the show and you are the new behavioral specialist, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Livingston, Tennessee. I live in Alpine.
Okay.
And I went to school my entire career in Overton County. I graduated from Livingston Academy in 2007. I went to a small private school for college my first year and decided that away from home wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So
where did you go?
I went to Milligan College.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
now Milligan University.
Oh,
recently.
Really?
Yeah.
They have upscaled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Moving up. Then that was just a little bit of a drive for me. So I came back home and I started at Tennessee Tech, where I graduated with a degree in middle school education.
And then you began your teaching career. And where did you teach?
I started in Fentress, and then I ended up at Avery Trace rather quickly.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And how long were you at Avery Trace?
6 years.
And then you became interventionist? Or, yeah.
At Allgood Middle School
at
for
Allgood.
2 years. Yes, sir.
Okay. So being in the school system for, what, 10 years now, or starting your 10th year?
Yes, sir.
You are looking at this behavior specialist opportunity. What are your goals? I mean, what is something that you're really hoping that you can achieve when you accepting this job? It was something different that you haven't done before and that we haven't had before.
Right.
So what are some of the things you want to bring to the table? And really, what are some of the goals that you want to have?
In this role, I cannot wait to work with admin and teachers and to really hone in on those kids that come to school with behavior deficits and really work to change the whole child, and to give those teachers the supports that they need along with our admin.
Yeah, that's good. And I know we're talking about school stuff and we're talking about behavior specialists, but Melanie is big about the fair, and the fair is about to start. So we got to talk about the fair just for a minute. I mean, you know, are you ready for the fair? I mean, isn't everybody ready for the fair?
The horse committee is ready for the fair. Yes, absolutely. We have our first horse show on Saturday. It's an all-day show. But, yes, we'll be there multiple nights working those equestrian events, and we are ready. We are ready.
Now, do you want to brag on your son-in-law a little bit, too, since, you know, we're bragging on your grandson about being a cowboy and rodeo? I mean, you got a son-in-law that's pretty good, too, right?
I do have a son-in-law, and he gets to compete at that amateur level, and he's brought home many paychecks and yes. Many saddles. So, yes, Palmer White is exceptional bulldog. Absolutely.
And now, where is your daughter teaching? She's still at Capshaw?
Yes, Kelsey is at Capshaw.
Okay.
Yes. My daughter-in-law is at Northeast. Jordan is at Northeast.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it is a Putnam County School System family.
Yes. Yes, it is. Carrying on those traditions.
Awesome. Now, Cassie, tell us a little bit about your family. Did you come from an educational family? Was it something that you've always wanted to do? Or did you just know that when you got into college, you wanted to be in education?
My grandma was an adjunct professor at Tech for a brief period in the 90s, and I just knew from an early age that I wanted to be a teacher. I used to play school with her and all of my stuffed animals, and then when I got to college, you know, you do those intro classes, and yeah. You get to go and sit in classes, and you get to see what it's like, and I started with a high school teacher, and I would go and I watched their class, and then I went to elementary, and I soon realized that my heart was for the middle kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's good because middle school is such kind of an awkward phase. I mean, you're little, then you go to middle school, and then you're becoming an adult, but, man, just that middle school area right there, it's good that there's people who want to love on the middle school kids. It really is.
They need lots of support. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. So when Cassie is not being a behavior specialist, what are you doing? What are your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing?
I spend a lot of time with my dog, Finley Joe, and my nieces. We like going to the zoo. I go hiking frequently. Sometimes I go caving with my dad. That's a hobby that I've had for a long time.
You don't know Jim Fox, do you?
I do not.
Okay. He's a big caver. I didn't know.
I don't know him.
Splunker, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Splunker.
We've got a trip planned in Fentress County where I get to rappel like 164 feet. So that's going to be an experience. It just gets your adrenaline pumping in a different way.
Yeah. Good for you.
not me.
I prefer to be above ground.
Yes, not me.
He was telling me that Jim Fox, the splunker, said in all of his years, he's been caving like 30 years, he'd never come in contact with a snake. And just last week, he's rappelling down a cliff, and there's about a 6-foot copperhead on a ledge staring him in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen one either. Yeah. I've never seen a snake. Now, I've seen some other interesting things, but I've never come across a snake.
Yeah, he took his water bottle, knocked him off the ledge, and that
okay.
was that.
There you go.
Well, we're talking about behavior in Putnam County Schools. And Melanie, if you had to kind of gauge what behavior is like and maybe compare it with other school systems, if you could, or just kind of, you know, where we're at with this, how do you think it compares?
I don't think that we're different from other school districts around us. I think everybody is dealing with behaviors. And some of those behaviors come from the COVID era. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about, you had kiddos who were home on technology devices, and they got their way for a long period of time,
yeah.
and there wasn't the school structure.
Right.
And then you have middle school students who missed their last fourth grade year and came into middle school with not a lot of, you know, that last little bit in elementary to prep. You had families who chose to go homeschool for a couple of years, and then kids are now rolling back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a different look. But I think kids, you know, I think technology, if you want my personal opinion,
yeah.
technology plays a large role in some of the behaviors that we deal with in the Putnam County school system. You know, you and I could go to school and somebody might be messing with us at school or, you know, giving us a hard time, but we could go home and get away from it for a while.
Right.
These kids can never escape it.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And because they're always connected through social media and through text messages and, you know, all the different things, Snapchat and whatever.
Yes, and I think the arguments go on. Things are said that would not be said face-to-face and that are even more nasty, you know.
Yeah.
And so I do think we're dealing with the technology world
mm-hmm.
and how to help kids, because a lot of kids just can't take that I mean, that's frustrating all day at school, and then you get home and it's the same. So some of those things, you know, vaping is a big thing that's going right now in middle and high school.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where this big vaping phase came, but it's pretty big.
It is.
And we have a lot of kids who are making the decisions to bring those vapes to school, and they get caught with those, and then they're in a DHA hearing, and we're looking at having to remove them and go to an alternative placement for the tobacco. And, you know, it's just kids are offered so many things these days. I mean, we were offered some things, but man, the choices that they have out there, it's just very difficult, I think, to be a kid at this in this era.
Yeah, it really is. And Cassie, you taught pre-COVID and post-COVID, and so have you seen a change in behavior pre to post?
I have. So pre-COVID, I feel like they were just a little bit different, right? Like TikTok was just starting.
Yeah.
Some of these social media things weren't as big. They didn't seem like they spent as much time within those apps. And now you're noticing that they're taking things that they see in those apps, or they're taking that and bringing that to school. Or just like Melanie said, they're using those to continue bullying outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes it hard, because then those kids bring that stuff back to school, and it's like a never-ending circle at the middle school level.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a break. I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters. And this is Local Matters with the Folks on Education. I'm Buddy Pearson. Our guest today, we're talking with Melanie Bussell and Cassie Hunley, both from the Putnam County School Systems. We are talking about behavior. Cassie is the new behavior specialist. And Melanie Bussell, of course, learning loss supervisor and RTI guru. And we want to talk about some specific behavioral problems that we might see in Putnam County schools. So let's start at the bottom and let's work our way up. Let's start at the elementary level.
Okay.
You know, elementary kids, you know, when we talk about behavioral problems, what are some of the behavioral problems that we've had to deal with and that we may have to deal with this school year?
I think for our littles, K through 2 at least, a lot of kids cannot regulate their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So that you are walking into a classroom where kids are having to be right beside the teacher because they can't control their actions at their desk. They're not used to handling frustration. So when they're frustrated over something, sometimes they can't verbalize what they want or need. So then chairs start to throw, pencils are broken,
mm-hmm.
things start flinging, and that's causes a safety issue.
Sure.
So then, you know, you have teachers who are trying to teach these classes of 18 to 20 kids, and you have a student who can't regulate. Even if you say, let's take a moment, let's go over here, sometimes they have to be totally removed from the classroom to get their body back regulated to re-enter.
Yeah. So, all right. So Cassie, as the behavior specialist, you talk to an admin and you talk to a teacher and they say, well, you know, I have this student that, you know, lashes out every time we try to talk or whatever. So what is it that you're going to do? How can you help them? What kind of plan can you put in place? What kind of parameters can you do, you know, just to help?
We would possibly start with a classroom assistant tool where an admin goes in and they just observe the classroom and the setting and have a conversation with the teacher about some things that they have set in place. I would ask the teacher to go ahead and start a daily progress report so we could track some of those things that are going on. I myself would go in
mm-hmm.
and observe the student and see how, like, things that I would notice within that classroom, both with the teacher and the student, and then meet with a team to discuss where we would go from there.
Yeah. So that's K through 2. Okay, let's move it up a little bit. Third, fourth grade, because obviously they start getting a little older and maturing a little bit more, and then we have different issues at the third and fourth grade level.
Yes. Third and fourth grade, to me, what I hear majority of the time is lack of motivation from students.
Okay.
So how do you get kids to work when they're not really motivated? School, they don't feel like school is their thing.
Okay.
And so sometimes, and then the pressure of third grade and the TN Ready test comes into play, and you have kids' anxiety start to ramp up.
Anxiety really starts to set in because they really start worrying about these test scores and all the pressure that's put on them. And you know, if you're not satisfactory, I mean, you might have to go to summer school or you might have to repeat. And all the
yes.
different things. Yeah.
Yes. So you're going to see some different things. But I think 3 through 8, honestly, you have pockets of kids who are non-motivated to complete work. But you have to dig in and look at the whole picture. Kids do not wake up every day and go to school and say, who can I make really upset today? Which teacher am I going to make upset today? I'm sure. There are underlying issues that we as adults have to not take things personal. We have to really look into that situation, because what is happening at home? What is happening with the boyfriend and the girlfriend at 7th and 8th grade? But I think a lot of things that I hear at 3rd and 4th grade still is they can't stay in their personal space.
Right?
Hands are, they're touching their friends or they're trying to snatch a pencil or something they want, and lack of motivation to work. So how do you motivate a kid who really doesn't want to be at school?
Yeah, well, we ask our behavior specialists is what we do. We say, how do you do it? What do you do? I've got little Johnny over here. We just can't get him motivated, so what are we going to do?
Well, there's several different interventions that we would try. We would do goal setting. We can see what truly motivates them and try to curve and change that behavior with them, so I'm not the only one that's regulating what's going on.
Okay. All right. So moving on up a little bit, we get into the upper middle school. We know by the time they get in the 7th and 8th, hormones are raging and there's all different kinds of issues they're dealing with. What are some of those issues?
Yes. So here's where you come into the student conflict.
Yeah.
And that's where I think some families and some students really believe that it's bullying. Mm-hmm. But a lot of time in the middle school, when you do a bullying investigation, it comes out that it is student conflict on both sides.
Yeah.
And they either do not have the skill set to talk through a problem that occurred in this group, and then they go to their social media, and then the problem just spirals.
Yes.
And gets bigger and bigger.
Because now they've got the cell phones and it's stuck to their hand nonstop, although with the great new policy that we have, they're
right.
in a pocket in the classroom.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, but I think that's where it's more student conflict, and it is girl drama, and it's boyfriend, girlfriend things start to occur and start creeping in, and people fighting over the same boy, you know, all the things that happened back when we were in school.
Yes.
It's not that different, but once again, you add that social media piece
then
to
it. Blows it up.
And people, and I just think our kids today really struggle having a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
They don't know how to talk to their friends. If there's a conflict, they don't know how to go in and problem solve that, because they all just resort to a text message or an app.
Yeah. So back to our behavior specialist, Cassie, who taught middle school for 7 years. So when you had the drama, when these things would pop up, when you had behavioral issues, how did you deal with it in the classroom?
I think when you show middle school students that you're a human too, and that those things aren't going to go away, that at my age, that you're going to still see those conflicts and those things in life, and that it's a life skill, that can go a long way. So I always, if I had a relationship with those kids, we would just talk about it. Like, mm-hmm. Look, this is where you're at. This is where you're at. You need to learn how to communicate and use those skills effectively. If I couldn't resolve issues within my middle school girls, or some guys, I would go to the counselor and reach out to them mm-hmm. for additional supports when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we move on up to the high school level. And what kind of issues could we possibly have at high school?
Well, you know, those get very convoluted. You still have the lack of motivation, you know, to work. But really, unfortunately, through the social groups, drugs start coming into play
right.
at the high school level. You have cars on campus that end up with paraphernalia in them that do not need to be there.
Right.
You end up with, you know, it turns into physical fights sometimes. So you just take everything that's been going in middle school and you amp it up
I mean, it's like times 10.
Yes.
It really is. And so when it comes to, and I would think that something that happens at the elementary level and then the middle school level and the high school level, probably the severity increases the higher up you go.
Yes.
And that probably, would I be safe in assuming that the punishment also would be more severe the higher up you go?
Yes. And in this system, this new model that we're trying to work with, you know, sometimes we jump straight to punishment to begin with. And
right.
so we're really trying to back off of that as far as if it's a behavior that we can put an intervention in place and reteach what we expect
right.
to happen and change that behavior. The whole thing about academics is sometimes you can go in and remediate something and it changes quickly.
Sure.
Behavior is not the same.
Yeah.
When you take a behavior away, you have to give a replacement behavior. So if I'm going to take this away and try to change the inappropriate language, I have to give them something to use to input in that place.
Right.
So as you go up through the ranks, we're going to try to intervene and change those behaviors before we get to middle school, before we get to high school.
Yeah.
So then they have the skill set to step back, take a breath before they just jump and react.
Yeah.
But you know, high school kids, I mean, there's just so much more to it. They're now driving. They can meet other places.
Right.
It starts at school, then it goes other places. You've got all the extracurriculars that are happening in high school,
mm-hmm.
and there's jealousy among athletes, and there's just so many different things and pieces and parts. But it doesn't matter what size the child is. We still need to teach what we expect. And sometimes I think as adults, we just think they know.
Yeah.
And they do not know.
Well, I think that is a profound statement right there. No matter how old they are, what level, what grade level they're at, that we care enough to want to help them.
Yes.
Because you don't just write somebody off because they're in high school or, they're going to graduate next year or, you know, it's just, you know, you don't just write them off. And that's what I'm hearing from both of you and from the county is that we care about them from the time they come in as pre-K or kindergartners
yes.
all the way up until the time they get that diploma. And if there are behavioral issues during that time, we're going to come in and we're going to intervene and we're going to help them the best way we can.
Yes, and help the families. You know, most kids who are struggling at school are showing some of those same behaviors
yeah.
at home. And a lot of parents today are just not sure how to handle that either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we would like parents to know is we are a team. And even if your child is placed in a tier two or tier three behavior program to work on and change that behavior and receive interventions, we're a team and we want your input. And sometimes we can help some things at home just like they can help some things at school with us.
Yeah. And I think sometimes parents may not realize how severe the behavior is. When something can be said that can be construed as hate speech or as threatening or whatever, that maybe they heard at home, and then you confront the parent and they don't think anything about it, but all of a sudden, you know,
yes.
there's not only red flags, but there is a problem.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that we saw last year was some students that said some things and they didn't realize what they were saying.
Yes.
And that's probably at the elementary and middle school level. That when you say it at a high school level, it may have a different connotation. It may have a little bit more meaning.
Yes.
But when you're saying something like, you know, I'm going to kill you or
yes.
you know, I'm going to blow this place up, and you're saying that at the elementary and middle school level, you still have to address those things.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes. Our threat assessments increased last year based on kids using those type statements and
yes.
words. And I think parents need to really understand once the child makes those statements, there are certain things that the school system, it's no longer in their hands.
Yeah, you can't take it back.
And you can't take it back.
Right.
We still want to support them and help mm-hmm. them, but there will be legal ramifications that have nothing to do with the school system.
Yeah.
And so, but we want to bring those kids back in at whatever point they're ready to come back in. So, yes. And I just think parents today, sometimes I try to keep up, right, with what is the newest app, what are they doing,
yeah.
how is that working? I mean, I have grandchildren, so
yeah.
I'm trying to stay in the loop. I think if I could give parents any advice is please at night take the cell phones, give your children a break. They're not going to want that break, but they need that break.
Mm-hmm.
And then please monitor what is going on there. I know that some parents say they throw big fits when I take their cell phone. Well, that's okay. Let them throw big fits, right? Because we
better you take it now than
ending up
yeah.
with an investigation in the sheriff's department knocking on your door.
Exactly.
And so we want to help them. And parenting is hard.
It is.
Just like teaching is hard.
Yes.
So we just want the parents in the community to feel like we're here to help them and support them. And I don't want them to feel, oh, I get a letter sent home that my kid is going to tier two behavior.
Yeah.
That just says we're trying to intervene and help you out, and we need your help as well.
Yeah. Melanie Bussell, thank you. Cassie Hunley, nice to meet you, and we look forward to you being the new behavior specialist in Putnam County Schools. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. Once again, I'd like to thank our guests, Cassie Hunley and Melanie Bussell, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to everybody next week. God bless. Have a great week.